My name is Andre Whitehead. For 15 years, I have grown the brand of Tennessee Prep Hoops. Now, with the assistance of Brent Watts, we bring to you Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. All right, welcome to Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, sponsored by Southland Realtors. This is Andre Whitehead here at 1180 Sports Radio, 1180 DVLZ, with the man Seth Stokes, and one time, two time, three times in a row in the studio.
Correct.
That's a habit.
That is
it's a
habit.
Streak.
That's 21 days. Yeah. 21 days starts a habit, yeah.
Well, no, it's actually 3 days in studio. You weren't in studio
seven. But it's over 3 weeks.
You know, 21
it's over
3 days.
Yeah, you can't. So 21
days.
I mean, he was here like almost on time.
It was the closest he's been to on time since probably seventh grade.
Good looking people are late.
Me and Seth were
then
here.
Why are you always late?
Me and Seth were here already.
You should be
I'm good looking.
Very early.
I'm about to put your sunglasses on.
Don't touch my sunglasses. These are my sunglasses.
Those are Seth's sunglasses.
So I mean, let's jump in.
The first thing
I was in Atlanta this weekend.
You were in Atlanta. How did that go?
It went real good. The Gibbons TOC. Tennessee didn't fare well. Team Thad 16s went to the Final Four in the 16s, but they were playing very shorthanded. Bruce Guy was hurt. DJ Jeffries was limping around. So they ended up getting beat in the Final Four. You know, Tennessee Tigers were there. We All Can Go is what they went by, but it's actually the team Corey Brewer, and they did really well. They, you know, Grayson Murphy, a kid from Independence who's getting all kinds of D1 looks now, was fantastic over the weekend. They did real well. I think they made it, I want to say, to the Final Eight, I would say, and wasn't. And then the Chattanooga Elite teams kind of struggled. Team NLP lost their first game. And usually if you're in these tournaments, if you lose your first game in pool play, it kind of drops you like to the bronze or the copper bracket. And a couple of them, you know, won a couple games after that, but the problem is they never come back to Swanee. You know, Swanee's got seven courts, and then they're playing in outlying areas. So I'm staying in Swanee, so I want to see everybody to come back to Swanee. If you lose that first game, it's tough to get back to Swanee.
Yeah.
But still a good event.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good event.
Well, I was out.
Hoop scene.
Yeah, you were a hoop scene. I made it out to the, I mean,
sort of the Godfather event.
Sort of the Godfather of AAU basketball in this area, Charlie Benson.
Yeah,
you know, we had the Travelers
in Halston.
For years.
And it's funny, you know, the team that beat Team Thad was the Kentucky Travelers.
Yeah, just the Travelers now based out of Kentucky in the UIBL. But I got to see B-Maze Elite versus the Travelers. The game I saw, B-Maze Elite won.
And the Travelers came back and beat them in the championship.
They did. Yeah. Watching Tajon and EJ play, Davari Reeder from Catholic played well when I saw in the B-Maze Elite victory. So that was fun. It was nice to be able to get there after – we went to.
Oh, you went after the Coach Blevins dinner.
That was
a lot of fun.
That was.
I enjoyed getting to see him, getting to see Ty and Rico and all those guys. That was really cool. And getting to see him make fun of you, that was awesome.
Yeah, I got him back.
How you like Seth? How you like that? A whole, like, there's like 50 people there and every one of them is making fun of him. It was glorious.
So it's his every day.
It was like his every day.
I had set Jared Karn straight when he comes out first thing, and he's like, you know, we all loved basketball. We had three things gone. We all loved basketball. We all hated Farragut, Watts, you know. And I'm like, but we went to Cedar Bluff. All of us went to Cedar Bluff together. We're family, you know. But it didn't work. But no, it was cool to diagram true competition where you're – competitors stretch you, and then you know, the friendship that
there's a lot of respect there. Everybody,
it was a lot,
was a lot of respect for Coach Blevins,
and then getting to talk to Jared about the way the things went down, and how Coach literally rose above the adversity that he went through this year, and just maintained class and poise. And you know, I did a lot of investigating on it, and Jared just sort of backed it all up. So you know, even bigger compliment to Coach Blevins, who's off to a very hotbed of basketball down there in Huntsville, Alabama, and we wish him the best of luck. So, but that was a great event. A lot of great individuals there, like you said, Ty Green, Michael Clemens, Jared Karn,
Drew Clemens,
Deuce was there. You said Rico was there, but whatever.
Rico's my boy. Don't you talk about Rico there? Sitting Bull.
Oh man. Oh my goodness. But I got one for you here. I got one.
You ready for this?
So
let's hear this.
So it's Sunday night. It's Sunday night. So me and my crew, you know, we're getting ready to go.
You and your children?
My boys. Going to Chuck E. Cheese? My boys, we're out, and like we get a call from the other crew, and they're like, y'all want to play some ball? And I'm like, we're like, against y'all? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, let's meet up at Webb. I'm like, why Webb? That's not where we want to play. Well, it's air conditioned. I'm like, I mean, if that's the way y'all roll. And so we meet up, and there they are in their expensive shoes and their expensive clothes and all that stuff, like, because it's Webb. And I get in the game, and there he is. And I'm like, well, I got to take this guy. And they're like, yeah, you get him. And I'm like, I mean, where's the challenge? So, like, you know, the first play, he hits a three, and I'm like, oh, man, I gave you that. And then, like, so I go to post him up because I'm bigger. And, I mean, he tipped. He got a piece of the shot. And, like, all in, you know, because, like, I had heard from last year's Basketball for Babies tournament, which is already scheduled, that this cat could ball. And it was Ricky Norris. And so, I mean, that cat could ball. I mean, like, legit. Like, who cares?
Ricky played in the 3-on-3.
Like, it doesn't matter how old he is.
Remember last year when he said he was going to have a team in the 3-on-3, and he said it the whole time.
He did. He said it a lot. And then just –
and then when the day of, no team.
Which y'all don't –
I remember that.
The constraint in life, y'all don't have a wife fixing your schedule, but like the compliment here is like, doesn't matter, age doesn't matter.
No, it's a great compliment. Ricky can flat out play.
Now, I will say this, there may have been an exchange of value somewhere in there that he is going to provide half tuition for the number one point guard in the class of 2029 to attend Webb for that block. No, that's my son.
Oh, that's Andrew.
Yeah, it's Andrew.
Now, can't you like go on the reservation and get a couple guys together and put a team?
The tallest guy on the reservation is 5'3". Seth Stokes would feel like a giant.
Is that atop a buffalo or not?
Yeah.
There's no buffalo in Charlotte. So, and I'm sending two of the kids.
Have you seen some of the women in Charlotte?
I'm sending two kids from the Catawba Indian Reservation to the Mark Price UNCC basketball camp. And so I get on there and I'm like, well, the first assistant there who said he wants to be on the show is Houston Fancher.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, it's like 135, it's like 75 or 135 bucks a kid. I'm like, I'll send two or three kids, whatever. Then I get the updated flyer, and it's 350 a kid. And then it's, I'm like, oh, and they have pizza every day. I'm like, well, three slices of pizza will get a 12-year-old lunch, no problem. They're like, yeah, it's $3 a slice. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to mail you a check and an eye patch because you're a pirate. $3 a slice for pizza. You're a pirate. But so they're going to that. And they're actually, the kids will have, I'm getting a hold of Tennessee basketball shirts, Oak Ridge basketball shirts, Maryville College basketball shirts, and App State basketball shirts so that they can wear one each day. And you know why, right? Because Houston Fancher's coached at all those schools.
Oh, I gotcha.
So kind of like a little running joke with Houston while they're there. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's kind of the joke that I'm going to – because I've been talking with him about it. And so, yeah, so that's kind of cool. But now Ricky Norris – He can flat out get it, man.
Yeah, he did. Him and Eldridge and a couple other guys played together.
He's
got to
be better than Eldridge. I'm saying it right now. I'm calling Eldridge out.
So if you get a team in, you could play against them.
I would love to play again like last year. I don't fully have control of my schedule because I got a wife, two kids, and a mortgage and all that other stuff. But I would. I have no problem getting a team together and playing. I would love to.
It's only like 10 minutes from your house.
Well, yeah. Dude, I mean, sometimes
Steve will babysit Andrew.
Oh God, Andrew will babysit Steve.
Yeah.
Well, make sure the fire insurance is paid up. But I did another one. I talked to. I was in Cookeville, so I hit him up to see if I could buy him lunch.
Did you see the Mituation? Did
you talk to him? I did. I hit the Mituation up.
Couldn't do it.
Couldn't, timing didn't work out.
And
but
had no idea who you were.
Oh, he knew. Well, everybody knows who I am because I tell them exactly who I am.
You're Andres.
I'm Andres. Untrustworthy. You know how you're like, you got that trusty sidekick?
Right.
I'm Andres' untrusty sidekick / deadbeat sidekick. I'm Andres' dead weight. Oh, yeah. You're the other dude from Wham. Yeah. Well, the other dude from Wham has a microphone. So, like me. And right. So, so they know.
Like, that's too bad because Mitch is awesome.
Well, I'm in Cookeville at least twice a month. So, yeah, I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah, hit him up.
And I went by the Roundhouse trying to get with those guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, you getting did in, get with Jesse.
Yeah, right? Getting in touch with Jesse.
Yeah, that's finally. That's good. That'll be a real good thing.
Well, there's a kid down there that, you know.
Special needs kid that's a huge Mox fan and just wanted to get him with the coaches.
And you know, awesome. You know, the coach and the players. I mean, at least the players that I've met that have played there over time, they're all really good dudes. So they'll do a phenomenal job. And then, you know, last night playing pickup, I got to play with the first year's favorite player, Kelvin Jackson.
Your first year's favorite player.
The small college gurus, Watts' favorite. Of course, the second year, Ross Cummings, the man.
And are you waiting to declare, or are you waiting to ruin another kid's career for this year?
I am waiting. Really? Ross Cummings' career is ruined?
Well, you know what? He rose up in spite of you. I mean, that's what I'm going to put. He rose up.
He could handle the media pressure. He could handle the paparazzi. He could handle the text messages from Selena Gomez. He could handle all that come with being the guru's fave player. But Swaggy K came out. He had a very good one. But there were several players in the running to be Watts' favorite player
next year. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty prestigious. I mean, you look at who's in there. I mean, with Kelvin and Ross. I mean, that's a pretty good list. Kelvin will be at Northeast Mississippi Junior College next year. Of course, Ross will be at, he'll be a Mercer Bear in Macon, and so.
Yep, that's awesome. But while we were talking about the 3-on-3 tournament, I want everybody to. We put it on Faye. There's a thing on Faye. It's for the March Dimes. It's 3-on-3 basketball tournaments in August, and we want everybody. Our goal is 100 teams this year. So if you know anybody that wants to get together, come out to Webb, play 3-on-3. We have. You know, age divisions from 8 years old all the way up to 50 plus and wheelchair divisions.
And it's indoor.
It's indoor, so
that's where somebody like my age is used to like playing in the parking lots and it's hot and you're in the sun all day.
No, this is all indoors. It's, you know, 4 courts in the Webb's main gym, 2 courts in the Haslam gym.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a 2-day event, possibly 3-day event, depending on how many teams we get, but most likely just a 2-day event. So, you know, you can see that. And, you know, anybody wants to get in contact with me, I can put you on to where you can sign up for that, or you can just follow on Facebook, and I'll be sending out stuff to the high school coaches. We got an updated flyer specifically made for the high school coaches because I want to get some high school coaches to send some players.
Yeah, no, last year it literally scheduling conflict out of my control. I mean, y'all understand that. I mean, when you have a family and stuff, you don't always have full control of your schedule. But no, I mean, like after the results,
stop making excuses.
No, I mean that's a fact. I mean,
man,
that's fact. I mean, you were married, weren't you?
At one point,
yeah. And she would not. She would not leave me alone when she was married to you. But I didn't mean to ruin your marriage. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
She had a poster of me. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, but and I actually have some reliable.
You had a poster of Tonto, not you.
Reliable basketball players who are not iffy on showing up. And when I say iffy, I'm directly pointing at guys named Greg Hernandez, the Evil Sombrero, Alex Broke Bowers, I Have No Hair Placeris, who are on another team in the William Blount League, where my team in the William Blount League is Trey Matthew, that Rico kid, Ben Williamson, me. So there's
we need to get Psycho B to play in the Rocket Top again. Was he? Can he?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure you get it with him.
Yeah.
We need to get some of that together. And speaking of the Rocket Top League, everything's NCAA approved right now. I'm working on putting the players together. The draft will be June the 8th. At Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek.
So it's right next to my house, so I won't miss it.
Of course, you'll be late.
Big thing, biggest news to me about the Rocket Top League this year, where it's been a little different. Like, obviously, last year, I mean, two things are obvious. Obviously, I won the league. The other was a majority. Talent-wise, however it worked out, there were some Division II players that just dominated. Jalen Steele, Devin Schmidt, Duck Dynasty, Drew Standifer, Calvin. But Carson Newman, Chuck Benson stepped up.
Chuck, yeah, they're sending nine players.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
In the talks with Forbes to get East Tennessee guys
up
here.
To get those
guys. Talked to Omar today, trying to get more LMU guys.
Get those guys down here.
If we get that with the UT guys, and then Trey Suttle said he's going to come down and
play. Who had a phenomenal season.
Trying to work on if Robinson is still there to bring him along.
Devin Schmidt's committed to coming back. And
Levi Woods from Lee is coming.
Love that kid.
It's good, and Lil Dre, you know, Lester's going to play.
Rico has been non-committal. He wants us to stroke his ego.
Yeah, we'll do that.
He's skinny. We can make him do whatever. I mean, can't put up a fight.
And Carson Brooks said he was going to play.
Carson Brooks.
We've got, you know, we're working on it. It's still a work in progress right now, but it's always like this. You know, you're rounding up the players.
It's set up to be one of the best years because I know the coaching staff. I just got a text from Des Oliver. I know the coaching staff's fired up. Guys like Jordan Bowden are fired up.
Oh, Jordan, I'm happy. I got to go tomorrow, actually, over to the offices just to talk and see who all's here.
Yeah,
I need to get that.
And they're on board and having some other Division I players in it, having
there's a kid named Curtis Phillips from Memphis who signed with Campbell, played his first year, now he's transferring to Tennessee Tech. He's here this summer working out. He's going to play.
Sweet. But, you know, it's a lot of the league, if you remember back years ago when you had all the ETSU, UTC, jam-packed, it was freaking awesome. But now we're going to have that same environment.
With
air conditioning, which is big in the Rocky Top League.
It's huge. I mean, our fan base, a lot of the fan base is older people. So and me.
And me.
We need air conditioning.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you think we can get Seth out to a game?
No.
Possibly.
Why would you not come?
No, we talked
about
this.
What's the reason? You're a Tennessee
reporter type of guy? We want Swain. We don't want Seth. We want Swain.
I want Seth.
I want Swain.
That's awkward sounding.
That is kind of
a little.
I mean, if I told the truth now.
I would like for Seth to come out to a game. To a game.
To a game.
Finish that sentence. Yeah.
No.
Buddy.
No.
All right.
As your father.
Well, any more word on the tournament?
No, they're collecting votes. I know Slay's been all over Twitter, but it is a cool premise with the legends of Tennessee, basically. The one name that's missing from that roster that I do want to send over to them is they don't have Gerald Robinson on that team, which would be a great fit on that team.
Gerald, I've seen him on Facebook, so I think he's still overseas right now.
Is he?
Okay. I actually texted Brandon Lopez last night, and he texted me back. Of course, he's in England, so it was 2 in the morning.
Oh, he's with the CIA.
He's not. He said he won't be home.
Yeah, he's with the CIA. That dude is everywhere. He's all over the world chasing criminals, man.
Good for him. He's working for Interpol or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they've got him talking with a high-pitched voice.
Top secret.
Yeah, he can't be like, hey, this Lopez. He can be like, hi, I'm Brandon. So it's like it's like an undercover deal.
It's like talking to you off air. Did you watch that? Why are you looking at me with that one eyebrow? I mean, you don't intimidate me anymore.
I know. You don't intimidate me either.
I do too.
We both lost weight.
Yeah.
But I'm not with a trainer. I'm not working out with Devin.
That's right.
So you're probably getting a lot more benefit.
He hates me, I think.
Well, he got the truth. I mean, it's a team effort.
Yeah.
I snitched.
Yeah.
Oh, I snitched.
Yeah, what he's talking about is at the Coach Blevins dinner, Seth. I don't know if we told you. They had, obviously, you know, at the end, they had a big old cake for Coach Blevins. I'm having a piece of cake. And what does Tonto do? He takes a picture of me eating the cake and sends it to the trainer.
Total Mitch move right there.
That is.
Really? A Mitch? I'm a Mitch
move.
Now?
You're a Mitch right now.
Not a Mitch move.
Mitch.
First of all, Devin Driscoll is going to come into studio. He's going to slap you.
On whose authority?
Well, on his authority.
For what?
For A, calling me a Mitch.
He would agree.
No, and not supporting all the effort Devin is putting into, mm-hmm. Andre's putting into.
Oh, Andre's doing a great
job.
And
me being a part of the team, keeping Andre's best interests at heart.
Oh, you keep telling yourself that, buddy.
That's a teammate.
You keep telling
yourself
that.
Devin and I will bring our championship belts in here, and it won't be good for you.
Unbelievable. Is he actually like taking credit for?
Yes, he is.
How do you do that? How do you? It's amazing.
It's a
sometimes.
Skill. It's a skill.
It's a skill. It's a skill.
It's like I take credit for everything. It's like I should be an elected official. I should be in Congress. Just take credit for whatever you want, just because you have a microphone and you can do that.
I earned it.
Wow, that's just crazy. Well, we need to do the John Bailey Company Player of the Week. And also, that was from the Gibbons TOC. His team NLP, they didn't fare that well, but KK Curry from Cleveland was outstanding. He ended up making the all-tournament team.
Picked up an offer. Gibbons
and picked up a couple offers, including a Tennessee offer. And that's huge. So good for him. So that is our John Bailey Company Player of the Week.
Good deal.
And then our Darren Poppin Mortgage Investors Group Coach of the Week.
Are you going and giving it to me for the Rocky Top League? Or
It just never ends, does it?
It's too soon.
It just never ends, too Seth. Soon. It just never ends.
Someone needs to beat him this year.
I'm going to make sure someone beats him this year because I got control over the rosters when I do. I'm bringing in.
No, you
I'm
don't.
Bringing
you don't in have control over the rosters. It's yes, a draft.
And when I say, hey, you need to draft this guy.
Do I need to call the NCAA and let them know the draft is rigged against Watts?
I don't think they would. No comment. But our buddy, former LMU assistant coach, former head coach at Davis Elkins in
Division II, Davis and Elkins.
Just texted me just a few minutes ago, and Chris Cottrell, our buddy, just took the head coaching job at Pope John Paul High School in Nashville.
So he's going to have culture shock. I hope he can get readjusted.
I think it's
society.
A good job for him. He's going to be, you know, he's in the big private school league with Ensworth and Brentwood Academy, and he's going to have to fight, you know, them for players. But Chris is a worker, and I'm real proud of him. He had actually called me about that job, and I tried to help him.
Yeah, but when you try and go from being in West Virginia back into society, he's going to have a transition to make.
He'll have a little bit of a transition, but I think he'll make it okay. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and bring this segment to a close, and when we come back, we will have our interview with former Rocky Top superstar, former professional basketball player, Eastern Michigan alum, Boo Jackson. Here at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, sponsored by Southland Realtors at Sports Radio 1180, the
people wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today. Hey, my man, it's been a long time. How you doing? I heard you had another baby.
Number two, man, I got to figure all this out. We got to find a house. Where do I find a realtor? Do I have to get the title company? Who can help with the insurance? What?
I think, my friend, I have a solution to your problem.
Dude, please don't be joking.
I will not joke with you. Southland Companies features Southland Brokers, Southland Realtors, Southland Title Company, Southland Properties. There is no question, no scenario, or any transaction Southland can't handle. Accountability, trustworthiness, and consistency during every step of the transition. Experts in every field of real estate all under one roof. They have buyer reps, listing agents, land experts, leasing agents, property managers, rental experts, mortgage lenders, title associates. No excuses, just people doing their job. Everything under one roof. What do you think of that?
So basically all I got to do is make one phone call and I can get answers to all these questions?
You pick up the phone. You call 865-693-6961. Call Southland Realtors, and they will take care of your problems. Southland is your one-stop shop for all your real estate needs. They are located at 244 North Peters Road in Knoxville, or you can also get them at asouthlandcompany.com. Sportsradio1180.com, and they can take care of all your issues and all your problems all under one roof. And that should ease your mind.
That's the best information I've heard all day.
Well, go talk to somebody who is the best at what they do. Southland Companies. That's 865-693-6961. Southland Realtors. Southland is your one-stop shop for all your real estate needs. This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you?
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter, Rocky Top Insider Radio, the Dave Hooker Show and more. Sports talk around the clock, sun up to sundown and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
Okay, we are back. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, sponsored by Southland Realtors. And on the phone with me right now, I'm very excited, Brent. It's one of my favorite people, man. I love him to death. I've loved him since the first time I met him. He's a great guy. He was, and as far as I'm concerned, man, he was the Rocky Top League the first couple of years when we were kind of getting our foothold. And, man, having him here, I'd never, you know, didn't know him before, but on the phone with me right now, man, Boo Jackson. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, Dre?
It's good to talk to you, man. I told Watts that we were having you on today, and he was real excited as well. So I just wanted to get you on, man, see what you're doing these days. You know, I know you got the club, and I know you've been traveling a little bit. I see you some, you know, post some stuff on Facebook here and there. And we just wanted to talk, you know, maybe talk a little bit about basketball, Rocky Top League coming up. Got a couple other things happening in town, so just wanted to talk with you a little bit, man, see what was up.
Oh, man, everything's good, man. I've been, like you said, I've been back and forth in and out of town. I still have the club going, Studio X. They're on the strip. And, you know, a lot of players, you know, like Josh and those guys come down and hang out with me and whatnot. Outside of that, I'm working on a couple restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah, here in the Knoxville area. I started out here in the Knoxville area, so we're working on that as we speak right now. So hopefully that comes all together. It's gonna be called. They're gonna be like Chicken Shack. So sort of like a wing stop, but a different little version. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now as far as up this way.
Well, that's great, man. That sounds like you're always creating stuff, man. You're a true entrepreneur, man. You've always got some kind of thing in your head that you're trying to put together. So, man, that's what I've always admired about you, man. You work your tail off, and I remember how them first couple years of the Rocky Top when you were in just phenomenal shape.
You were skinny.
You were just killing folks, man, and everybody. You know, but the best part about that whole thing was, is it was just, you know, all these other guys would see you and you were like right on the doorstep of getting in the NBA every time. You played overseas for many, many years and just, you know, you've accomplished so much in basketball that, you know, a lot of people wish they could accomplish, but you were just always one step away from the NBA. And it was cool because those other guys would see you and how good you were and think, man, this guy is so much better than me and he's on the doorstep of the NBA. How the heck am I going to get to the NBA when this guy can't?
What'd you say, Jerry?
I said, man, it was just, you know, just getting the, like the UT guys when they would, you know, when they come in thinking they were all, you know, great and bad and just awesome, you know, and then you would just take them out there on the floor and just school them, man. It was real humbling for a lot of those guys. And I think, honestly, you helped a lot of those guys realize what it would take to go play on the next level. And, man, the first couple of years, that's what I remember the most about you, just how freaking good you were.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember how the Rocky Top League kind of got introduced to me. Brett, you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we were all out at Maryville College, and you know we had some pretty good runs out there. And you know that's where I met Brett and everything, and we had some real good runs out there. And you know I enjoyed playing with those guys out there. Coach Lambert opened up his doors, and at the time I was actually standing around the corner from out there, so I didn't really know much about the Knoxville area because I had just moved in town, which my father had a job relocation here in Knoxville, so that's what got us out here in Knoxville with Alcoa, the plant. So I didn't know much about Knoxville area. And Brent was like, you know, what you doing this summer? And I'm like, I can't remember exactly what I was doing that summer, but I knew that I would probably be doing some type of working out in Vegas or something like that. But he was like, hey, when you're here, we're going to play in this Rocky Top. And I'm like, but what is that? He's like, oh, you're going to be my secret weapon or whatever. So I was real familiar with it. You know, I was kind of, you know, figuring out my way at that time. And then I remember Brent, we went down there, and we went in the locker room, and the first thing Brent said, and, you know, a lot of guys didn't know who I was. I just popped up on the Brent's like, okay, this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to get the ball to him. That's the play. Like, and Brent is straight up, like, you know, and now that you know Brent knows how I am, and Brent, you know how I am, I'm not a selfish player at all. So even though Brent said that, I still went out there and kind of was passing the ball around. Brent was at me like, dude, I told you, like, not to pass the ball, like, the plays are for you. And then I kind of felt my way around it. And, you know, that was a good experience that first year, and I kind of felt how it was. And then that next year coming around, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and lay the foot down. And you know, all those guys started to get a lot of respect for me, and I knew I could help those guys. And I ended up start hooking up with a lot of the UT guys, and we played pickup at Pratt and over at the Thompson Bowling. And, you know, we just gained a really great relationship together, you know, and I enjoyed it. I love it.
Yeah, and it was, and like I said, it was just, you were one of those guys at first that I identify the league with. I mean, when I think of the origins of the league, I think of you.
Yeah, what Boo brought was, and I think what a lot of the guys saw, you see the young guys, you know, going to make the highlights, running just any number of trips up and down the court, and they throw the ball away, and that's fine. They'll just run one more. But what you saw Boo doing was dotting the I's and crossing the T's, mm-hmm. and just
getting rebounds, people, yeah.
and not only that, but talking to people, the communication of, hey, you got to stop this guy, and putting people on, or he would even yell out, you got to switch. And then, you know, even like the first year we moved it to CAK, if you saw him set a screen, you know, at the top of the key, it just took the defender completely out of the play. And so watching these college guys, you know, that are young and they're wanting to set screens that don't get any context, it's like when you set a screen, remove the defender from the possession, you know. And yeah. Boo was great at doing stuff like that. Or I still use the jump ball technique, which I will not reveal on air because it's a secret.
hey, you know my record's over 100, and like I'm about 100 something in O and jump ball.
Yes, I use it. I stole it, and it works. Yes,
and it works all the time. And I actually learned that jump ball trick from Jalen Rose. It's actually kind of funny because we played out in the St. Cecilia League in Michigan, where I went to Eastern Michigan. So we played out there in the St. Cecilia League, and I remember jumping ball with him, and he's like, first thing comes out of his mouth, like, young fella, you know I'm about to win this trip. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. He's like, yeah, no. I'll bet you I win this trip. And then we just joke around. Before you know it, I mean, he did what you know it is, Brent.
Yeah, and like, we're not going to reveal that. That's ours. Yeah. One of the things we've been talking about with this time of year is kids from all different levels of college are wanting to continue their career, and there's obviously numerous levels of basketball. I think there's 360 leagues across the world. you know, anything from third division in Germany, where you're getting basically $20 to be a basketball trainer and play a game on Sundays, to Spain and China, which are seven-figure paydays, and of course the D League, which I'm a huge fan of, and their finals MVP this year, Jarnell Stokes. But what some of the biggest things that guys need to realize that they've got to do to make that transition to be a successful professional player?
First and foremost, what you do on your the hardest part that I found out was the hardest part, which becomes the easiest part during the season, is what you do on your off season. That is the hardest part, because when you're in college and you're in high school, you got structures. You're going to go to practice, you're going to go home, you're going to go back, you're going to go to school, you're going to do your homework, you're going to study, you're going to go back. It's structured. So when you're done with college, you're on your own. So now, just say you got an opportunity to come out and play somewhere overseas, or even have a tryout for overseas. If you're not in the most shape you have ever been in your life, you're not, your opportunity is going to be limited to where you go and where you play. That's the difference between making your $20 in Division 4 or 3 over in Germany, or you going to the CBA in China. You know, that's the difference in that out the gate. You know, I found myself being a even better professional athlete than a college athlete, because I was always in shape. I always did things on the off season, and I knew I was going to have my advantage. I knew I was going to go up to guys that were super athletic. They can jump inside, basically jump inside the rim, and, you know, go for 50 points at any given night. But guess what? The majority of those guys weren't in shape. So I already had the advantage going in, because I was going to out-hustle, or I was going to do some tangibles that teams look for. I was going to get 15, 20 rebounds. I was going to get, you know, after 15, 20 rebounds, I'm going to get, you know, 14, 15 points easily just off of hustle. So before you know it, you look up, I have a double-double, you know. I'm out there communicating, I'm talking. And you normally, the first thing to go is your brain. So you forget plays, you forget to talk, communicate. So that's the biggest key on making it to that level of Europe or overseas, the B League, even the NBA. You have to be in shape when they call your name. Many times I sat at home for months, like, what's going on? But guess what? I still went to the gym. I still went up to Maryville. I still went to Pratt. I still worked out on my own, because when you always get that call when you least expect it. And lo and behold, when even for example, when I got the workout with the Lakers, I got that call while I was in the gym. I had 13 missed calls from Kupchak and those guys out there, and they ended up in contact with my mother. Mother knew where I was at, so she called up the next level, and they ended up calling the next level gym, and then that's how that even transpired. But guess what? I had one point up right there, because they couldn't get a hold of me because I was in the gym working out, you know. And that's one of the things they told me when I got off the plane. Like, you know, that's already a great start, that we were looking for you and you were where we needed you to be, in the gym. So, you know, the biggest step is definitely being in shape.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a tough thing to communicate to these young guys, because they come off their senior season and they think they're in great shape, and they probably are in the best shape of their life. But you look at them and they're coming off of tournament basketball, and you're like, all right, it's time to get in shape. And they're sitting there looking at you like, what do you mean? And all of a sudden it's a change from that sort of generic structure of
exactly
the team gets in shape together, to now it's about you and the position.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, well, I just shot for an hour. Okay, now it's time to go run 3 miles. And they're like,
yeah.
Well, why? Because you run at the end because you're trying to extend your range. You're trying to get into better shape. But that's not how my coach did it.
Nope, it's a different ball game.
Yeah.
It's a different piece on that level. I mean, you got guys just as good as you, if not even better. They're stronger, they're more physical, and guess what? It's a business. And these guys know what they're there for. If you're on that team, trust me, it's going to be known. There ain't going to be no ifs, ands, or buts what you're there for. You're there for rebounding. You're there for setting screens. You're there for scoring. Or you're there for, you know, hustle play. You're going to be there for a reason. So the reason to be there, that's what you need to focus on your off season, do the stuff, you know, work on your weaknesses as well, just in case you get put in a situation. So, you know, if they call upon you, you're always ready. You know what I mean? So that's one of the biggest things that kept me jobs doing it throughout, you know, the spring, the summer, and the winter. Like, as you know, I mean, I've played in over 15 different countries, and I made a great living with what I'd done, and I saved up a good amount of money, and I was able to do something positive with it and invest in my own self, and which has led me to my direction now. You know, so basketball definitely showed me things in life that I would have never dreamed of, and whatnot. And like they said, meeting people. You know, you guys know, I'm a very sociable person, so it's really all who you know as well too. So when I'm going to these places, it's not personal, it's just business. So if there's a team that might want to go a different direction, hey, I don't jump out of there and say, oh man, you guys are missing out. No, I go get better, and guess what? There's another team in line. Guess what? When another team calls that team, they will do it. It's like a job. If they call that team and say, hey, Boo, you know, what do you think about the guy, Boo? That's the last, oh, he's great. We just needed a different style player or whatever the case may be, but he's a great fit for you. And that's happened. That's happened to me, you know, and it's happened to me better. You know, I got released from a team and it ended up going to another team that I made more money and it was a better fit for me.
Well, yeah, that was following your career. Like in the early days in Asia, you would be on teams where they expected you to score and they wanted high point production. And then you get into the D League and they got guys that are assigned that are scorers that they want doing all the scoring. And so your stats are measured on rebounds and basically their points off of screens that you set.
Sounds to me like it's exactly what The Rock said. Know your role, shut your mouth.
Know your role, man. Yeah. A lot of kids don't want to get down.
No, they do not. See, we had it said we're going to ask you that next about what you thought about, you know, like we had a coach from Furman on a couple weeks ago, and he made a great point. He said, right now there are more guys out there doing skills training, yet the players are less skilled than they've ever been.
Yep.
And exactly. It's just that just stuck. I never thought about that before, and it's so true. And you know, you deal with kids. You've seen all that. I mean, what do you think is the you know, I don't know if there's a solution. I think they play too much in the summer. Yeah, I think they play games too much. They don't work on their skill level enough.
I think half of the problem is, I mean, between social media and Steph Curry, I don't know which one.
So, yeah, but that kid has worked his tail off, though. I mean, if these kids would have worked like him, they just see the end result and how good he is. They do not realize that behind closed doors, this guy was killing himself to become. Because I told the story, and we had Mike Muse on from Wake Forest last week, who worked camp with me when Steph Curry was at camp, and it was like we didn't even recognize. I mean, he was just an average kid out there playing, and then I guess he just decided, hey, you know, I'm going to – because, I mean, there was a time when his dad was a better player than him.
Right.
I mean, his dad was an all-star. His dad was a great player. But now, I mean, he's arguably
– it's unfair.
He's the best shooter I've ever – I mean, exactly. And I'm a Reggie Miller's biggest fan, and Steph Curry's the best shooter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah, he's unreal. Right? I mean, the things he's doing, I mean, like you said – you know, he's put hours and hours and hours and hours and
his
hours.
Ball handling hours. Is so unreal. I mean, he can get anywhere he needs to get on the floor anytime he wants to.
Yeah.
And for that size, I mean, come on. Like, it's unreal. It's really unreal, man. And kudos to him because I know there's a lot of things that he's doing outside. It's impossible that he's not doing the his work ethic off the court has got to be
It's crazy. And it's not like he's like LeBron, like he's 6'7 and 450 exactly. pounds and runs a 5'2", 4, you know, 4'4", 40. I mean, not like the freak athlete. I mean, he's a very slight built guy, 6'3", 6'4", 100 and what, 70 at the most, soaking wet. And I mean, he, you know, I'm not sure if the, we were talking about this the other night, if they were playing in the era with the Bad Boys and the,
He'd be dead. Steph Curry would kill
him.
Dead.
They would absolutely. I believe they'd beat him to death.
He would be dead.
Oh yeah, no, the game is definitely geared towards him now. But back then, oh yeah, they would have been took him out. They took him out.
Yeah,
they took him out after the first 40.
I mean, they
game.
Tried to. They tried to take Jordan. Hey, I'm just thinking. You know, Michael was 6'6", 225. I mean, that's he's got 60 pounds on him.
60 pounds. And they was tearing Mike. Up. They was tearing Mike all the way up.
Yeah, they were beating Mike to death.
Yeah,
they beat Mike all the way up.
I got a question for you as a guy that's moved through the ranks. I mean, like when Andre talks about skill, we're talking about it at for the bulk of the listeners, which is the high school and small college level. Whereas when I think about skill at the professional level, it's knowing when to hit somebody's hip and where to keep them from being able to jump to get a rebound. What are some of the biggest mistakes you made on skill development as a high school or young college player where you spent way too much time working on a strength where you should have been working on a weakness?
That's a good question. I would say, because it's weird because I got recruited out of high school as a guard. And when I went to college, one of the bigs got hurt. So when one of the bigs got hurt, I ended up, because the coach used to separate the big and the guard in pre-practice. So the guards go up one end of the court, and the bigs go up the one end of the court. We would do a pre-practice for like 30, 45 minutes before actual practice started. So one of the bigs got hurt. It was already a big hurt, so we was down to like two bigs or three bigs. So I was the next biggest person on the team. At 6'8", so, you know, the coach sent me down there, and then I already had pretty good footwork, so I ended up being down there messing around with the big. So it's a weird thing. Like, I kind of got caught up in, what am I? You know, at 6'8", and I was a freshman, sophomore, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm recruited to be a three guard, and now I'm a four, and I'm slowly creeping down the side because I'm such a physical player. So, like, you know, I found out, like, what position, what am I, you know, what am I? So I would genuinely say, you know, I definitely would have loved to work more on my left. I focused a lot on, after I got moved to the big end, to, you know, going down there with the bigs, I worked a lot on my focus when I probably should have been, you know, still doing my guard work as well. So I should have probably did both of them. I should have probably divided it up and did, you know, post moves and guard moves, you know, all in one instead of just when I went out to the business. Now I'm doing right hand hook, hike and drill, up and under, and I start focusing on that, and I lost all concentration of, you know, what I was really there for, and that was to be a three. So, you know, I would definitely, if I went back, I would want to work more on my left and not just put all my effort into post moves, I would say.
Well, I mean, you wanted to be a good post player, and obviously they were playing you in the post, so you needed to. But like you said, if you'd have worked on your outside shot a little more, maybe, you know, other opportunities could have came up. Who knows? But, man, you know, you're the type of guy that, I mean, you were smart enough to realize what you needed to do to get on the floor, and you took whatever opportunity was there on every level to make sure that you were on the floor. And if it meant playing with your back to the basket, then that's how you became so good, playing with your back to the basket and rebounding. Right. I mean, you're a phenomenal rebounder.
And that's a skill. I've done interviews about that with magazines and everything about rebounding. And, you know, it was a thing where, you know, even growing up, like, my mother, like, people don't have to know much about the game, but I don't care where you're at. if you know anything about the game, or if you're a team, or if you're an owner of a team, or if you're a coach of a team, I don't care who you are, you need a rebounder. There's always room for a rebounder. So with me being the person that I am, I'm like, okay, there's LeBron's out there, there's Michael Jordan's out there. Those guys are out there, you know what I mean? There's guys that's point specialists. Those guys are out there. The guys that just got a knack for just defending out their tails, they're out there. Rebounding. Not a lot of rebounders out there. It's not a hard thing to do. It's more of a heart thing.
Yeah, you have to really be focused on doing that. And like, it's funny because the Geronimo here sitting next to me played 4 years of college basketball and never got a rebound.
What?
Never got a rebound. Never got an assist. Never took a charge. If he wasn't shooting the ball,
I did take a charge.
I
took one charge, and a tip dunk counts as a rebound, right?
I don't know. I still haven't seen video footage of this yet.
As the two-time defending Rocky Top League champion, I can say from coaching in that league, I have never looked at a player after the game and said, "You got too many rebounds tonight."
Yeah, there's no such thing as too many rebounds. Yeah, I mean, guys have made gigantic livings in the NBA being a rebounding specialist.
When you get a call, Dre. And this is a true story. I got a call from a team in Venezuela. It was the summer of probably about 2011 or somewhere like that. And it was like, hey, we need you. It was in Trotamundos. And they're like, hey, we need you out here. And we need you out here because, and this is a true statement. Now, mind you, they're headed to the playoffs. And they got out-rebounded by about 15 or something like that. The game was close. They still won, but the game was real close. I got the call, and when my agent called, said, hey, man, the team in Venezuela, they want you to come out there, and they'll be willing to pay you, I think it was $24,000 a month or something like that. So and I know I was going to be out for like 2 or 3 months. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And when I talked to the team, they said, hey, all we need you to do is just rebound. Just rebound. That's my net. That's what I did. Went out there. I rebound my tail off. They released Joe Shipp. I know y'all familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah.
They released him to pick me up because of the rebounding situation. So that's what I'm saying. Everybody is a rebounder. Scoring, people going to score. But it's hard to find a hardcore rebounder.
No, I agree.
Yeah, that's one thing. If guys can score, I had a great conversation with a coach about guys can score. If you can score, you can score at any level. You're a scorer. What separates scorers is the ability to defend. The great scorers that can defend get the big money. But yeah, rebounding is
it's a lost art.
It is a lost art.
Because, I mean, who's the big rebounders in the NBA right now?
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love's a good rebounder.
Dwight Howard.
Andre Drummond's a good rebounder.
Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Boy from the Clippers.
DeAndre Jordan.
LeBron's a good rebounder.
He's a double-double rebounder guy. You know, and Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And, you know, Draymond, he's not the tallest guy in the world, but, he got a motor.
He's got a big-time motor.
Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Motor.
Tristan Thompson.
He probably got the biggest motor. He's going to get paid for the rest of his life because of his motor.
Your game, Tristan Thompson's game, reminds me of your game. It does. You played real similar. Motor. But I'll tell you, I'll give you a big compliment. I'll tell you something funny. And this wasn't when we were out hanging out. This was basketball related. So, the respect that you got after some of the guys left UT and played their first year pro and they come back, and then the way they look at you being a veteran, having survived in different leagues and different phone call, getting that phone call and you got to be in shape, and you know the way they looked at you like, man, this guy's been doing this for years and he's gone here and there and everywhere, you know, places they wanted to go, et cetera, which leads me to my one of my favorite jokes. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to finish this one. What do you call an out of shape professional basketball player?
out of shape basketball player.
Unemployed.
jobless. That's what I was about to say. I was about to say jobless.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when
it's like
when Gerald Robinson walked in one game to beat me in the championship, Andre, you backstabbed.
Hey, I coached that game, and I brought in a ringer.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, he looked at me, and he just goes, you know, he had been playing in Belgium. He'd been playing in the summer league with Memphis Grizzlies. Like, I mean, like you ready? He goes, I do this for a living. I can do this all day. I'm always ready. You know, yeah, and that's
– it's a job. It's a job.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a job.
Yeah.
You don't have a job. You on the job. You are on the job. You know how difficult it is to, hey, you don't have a job. Right? These players right now don't have a clue where they're going. Do you, A, go to the pool because it's 80, 90 degrees? Do you go to the lake? Do you go to that barbecue? Or do you go
to the gym to be ready for when you get that
call? Yeah, because that phone call is going to come, and it's going to be like, hey, we're sending you a plane ticket. We need you here.
Tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow or in 48 hours, and the game's Friday, and you're like, but I need 2 weeks to get in shape. And like, bye. Ticket never shows up. It goes to the next guy.
And guess what? And you get the players, and then that's where players mess themselves up because – they get that opportunity, they don't be truthful, but they take it. Then when they get there, they go, this is the old, what they do is they get the call, then they go right to a track, right then and there.
Yeah, try to get it all done in a day.
The best bet is not to go to the track. You need all the energy you can actually get. You might as well not go to the track. You might just get on that plane and go out there and wish for the best of luck, but you will get exposed no matter what league you go to. You'll get exposed. And if you go to a smaller league and get exposed, your job titles are pretty much revoked.
Yeah, you're on the blacklist then. You're never getting
called. Well, I mean, you look at the transition, like one of the places, I mean, I played some basketball there while I was there, never professional, but I played with some professional players, but England, the UK.
You've been to England?
Yeah, I've lived over there. And it was, you know, in the year 2000 circa, it was a small college league. If they got a player with SEC experience or something, it was like, wow. And now it is a straight up, I mean, it's kind of an entry level league because of the pay, but it is stocked full of major college ACC, SEC players where they're getting their first, because overseas doesn't have that. He signed a 6-year blah, blah, blah deal. It's a 1-year deal. It's not guaranteed, and it might, and they may just let it ride with, oh, where's my paycheck? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be tomorrow.
It's in the mail.
Tomorrow, and that's your word for get out of here.
Right.
All right, boo, man. This is. Do you realize we've gone a half hour?
Wow,
isn't it great when you start talking about things we love and all that, man. So I know you got to get going, man. So I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for everything, for being my friend. You have no idea how much you mean to me, man. And
I
love your mom too. And I hope to get to see you soon, man. I'll get out there to see you soon. I hopefully get to see you this summer. Hopefully you'll come by. And anything you need ever, man, you know you can call me.
Okay, I appreciate it, man. Let me know about the Rock Tap, man. I might make my debut, man. Come check.
If you want to, hey, you let me know if you think you can still play. I'm sure someone will draft you. I can promise you that.
Best coach ever.
Watts will draft you.
Yeah, I know my boy Watts will get me. Watts get me. Hey, I'll find out how good my wheels is. I'm gonna do that little program thing.
Yeah, see how it's going, and then you'll have time. You're a legacy, so you always have a spot. Even if you want to come just play one game, you're fine.
Right. You know what? I appreciate that, man. I you and Watch, y'all both are people I've met when I first got out here and great friends on and off the court and personally, man. I really appreciate you guys too, man.
Hey, well, if you need a point guard in the pro-am, let me know.
You know somebody? Like, you'll get Raul for him?
Raul's fat and old and bald. He doesn't have hair.
Hey, Dre, he said he's ready to go, man.
He says he's ready to go. He also says a lot of other
things. This is fact. Both Dre and I have lost 30 pounds apiece.
No, Dre told me, man.
No, Dre looks great.
Dre, I'm proud of you, brother.
And I'm way more handsome than him. My hair is way better than his.
He probably lost it for another reason.
I can't afford food for myself after feeding two kids, man.
Exactly.
All right, man. Well, we'll let you get off that mountain and get yourself home, man. Thank you so much for taking the time, and I will send you a copy of the show so you can listen to it. And thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
All Please do, Dre. Hey, thank you, guys. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you. All right. That was Bo Jackson, Bo Jack City, one of our boys, man. Great interview. Loved it. And we're going to have to bring this show to a close. One of our best, I thought. I thought it was a good show.
Well, I'm not rusty anymore. This is three episodes in a row. I shook the rust off. I'm back, Seth.
But okay. We'll go ahead and take this one to a close. This is Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, sponsored by Southland Realtors, here at 11 and Sports Radio 1180. I wrote 1180 before Sports Radio, and I keep reading it. It's like, well, like,
it's okay.
Like, what's his name? Whatever you write, he reads, you know. Stay classy, stay
Ron
classy,
Burgundy.
San Diego.
I'm Andre Whitehead.
And so that's Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.